This is Andy Shore from the Washington Hospital Center with a pulmonary and critical care literature update. I'd like to point out two articles from the February 28th issue of the New England Journal of Medicine focusing on mechanical ventilation in acute respiratory distress syndrome, or ARDS. The first was the OSCILLATE trial with the first author, Niall Ferguson, conducted by the Canadian Critical Care Trials Network. The second was the OSCAR study, which was a European UK multicenter critical care trial focusing on high-frequency oscillatory ventilation as well, and the first author with that was Young. In these two trials, these separate groups of investigators wanted to focus on improving outcomes for patients with ARDS and addressed a novel therapy or novel oxygenation therapy in terms of the use of high-frequency oscillatory ventilation. The oscillator is a fascinating piece of technology. It's used frequently in neonatal intensive care units, and if you've never seen it, you should search out a video on YouTube. You can actually watch the oscillator recruit the lung and expand it just through the vibration. It's really quite an impressive technique and technology. There's been a lot of interest in using the oscillator in patients with refractory hypoxemia and ARDS, especially given many other therapies for ARDS have failed in terms of improving the mortality outcomes for these patients. Literally, since the original trial from the ARDSnet group in terms of 6 cc's versus 12 cc's for tidal volume, in terms of tidal volume, in terms of cc's per kilo, we really haven't had much that's improved mortality rates consistently in clinical trials for ARDS. Thus, these groups of investigators took on the role for high-frequency oscillatory ventilation. In the OSCILLATE trial, patients were randomized to conventional ventilation versus high-frequency oscillatory ventilation. Interestingly, in that study, they were very clear and specific about the kinds of recruitment maneuvers patients underwent before they were randomized to one of those two strategies. And in fact, in that trial, which enrolled about 550 patients, mortality rates were higher, and thus the study was stopped early in the patients given high-frequency oscillatory ventilation. Mortality rates were in the mid-40s in the patients given randomized to the oscillator versus the mid-30s in patients randomized to conventional ventilation. In the second trial, in OSCAR, they did not see a difference in mortality with either interventions. Mortality rates were approximately 41% in the nearly 800 patients in that study. 400 approximately randomized to the oscillator, 400 randomized to conventional mechanical ventilation. I think the first takeaway from these two studies is it's relatively clear that routine use of the oscillator is clearly not beneficial and may in fact be harmful. Relatedly though, I think some of the devil is in the details. Now these two trials had different designs. Things were much more protocolized in OSCILLATE as opposed to OSCAR, where there was much more of a wild-type approach to practice and co-interventions. When you actually look in both trials, the levels of PEEP though were much higher than we'd be used to using. PEEP levels in conventional arms in the 12 to 15 range, kind of a stretch approach to use of the ventilator or conventional ventilation. But I think the most important point is that when you look at these two studies combined, they clearly show that patients who are treated with the oscillator require more paralytics and heavier sedation. And so it raises the question, is it the oscillator or the tools we use to make you comfortable with the oscillator that may be associated with the lack of benefit or potential harm? Similarly, it was clear in OSCILLATE that patients had more hemodynamic compromise with high-frequency oscillatory ventilation, and patients subsequently required more vasopressors. That, of course, raises the question, if you fluid-loaded the patients who are going to be on the oscillator more appropriately or were anticipatory and prepared for that, might outcomes have been different? In the end, in one sense, although it's intellectually interesting to untangle, was it the oscillator or all the co-interventions that went with the oscillator that affected outcomes or failed to affect outcomes, that's kind of a question that's a distinction without a difference, because we don't have other ways to make the oscillator more comfortable or to make patients more compliant with it, because it can be a very, very uncomfortable mode of mechanical ventilation. So trying to untangle the side effects of the oscillator or the co-interventions needed for the oscillator from the oscillator itself is somewhat of a futile and impractical exercise. In the end, I think these studies tell us that oscillation needs to remain a rescue therapy for ARDS and not a routine therapy. And I think in the United States, that's the way most people would actually utilize it. The other thing I think is important to realize is that these studies were conducted at centers that had experience with oscillation. They understood how to look at a driving pressure, to look at delta P, to look at the mean airway pressure. And if you have junior doctors or colleagues who are uncomfortable with the oscillator, it's certainly not a conceptually easy thing to understand, And certainly if you don't have excellent respiratory therapy support, it's not something you want to be experimenting with. Again, two very important studies in the New England Journal of Medicine from the 28th of February looking at oscillatory ventilation for ARDS. This is Andy Shore from Washington, D.C.